Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. We magnify the Lord God tonight for his goodness and for his mercy. We thank and praise God for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We're grateful tonight that each of you have tuned in to the Mind of Christ Covenant broadcast. We praise and magnify the Lord for his goodness and for all that he has done and for what he is doing even now. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We're grateful tonight. We serve an awesome God. People of God, we serve an awesome God. My brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, we serve an awesome God. Amen. A God who don't forget. A God who is faithful. Amen. Who is there with us. He said in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's true to his word. How many of you can look around and think over in your mind different situations and different times in your life when you have depended and called on individuals to come through for you, or you have expected them to come through and they failed you and did not come through for you. Amen. They gave you their word that they would be there for you and let you down. But we thank God tonight that the Lord has been true to his word. When he promised, his promises are true. His promises are yea and amen. And for this, we are grateful tonight. Amen. We're not going to be long. We thank God tonight for just an opportunity to come before you. Amen. And to share the word of God. And tonight, something that we've always, those of you that are church affiliated, no doubt you have heard in the word of God and many preachers and different ones have taught. But what I like about the word of God is you can take the word of God and take your time and study and research. Amen. Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing, amen, the word of truth. And so there are times when we read a scripture, and we can brush over or read a scripture, and it can mean a certain something to us at that moment or at that present time. But then when we take our time to dissect it, pray about it, go before the Lord, and then redo some research and bring in other scriptures to go along with it, we can find that those scriptures can mean and be broken down, and there's another revelation or an insight to the word of God that we may have missed on the first go-around. But quickly tonight, in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, amen, the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and beginning at the 10th verse, amen. This particular passage of scripture, amen, so many times I've heard preachers preach this word, and they get you excited, and they tell you, amen, about the weapons or the warfare that we deal with and go through, and the instruments that we should have in going through warfare. And they begin to preach this, and they get happy and key up and break it down, and next thing you know, everybody's all excited, but they miss the key essentials of the word of God. In order for us to stand, in order for us to
go forward, in order for us to fight the battle that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, in order for us to be able to stand in this evil day. The Bible tells us and gives us insight and instructions on how to stand. The Word of God gives us insight and instructions on how we should be able to fight and how and who we are as we go into battle. When you go into a fight or into a battle on the natural side, let's talk naturally so. When you've encountered a situation and you have to fight physically, you assess the situation, and as the street people say, they sum up the individual that they're going to fight. They look them up and down, and they size them up, as they say. 9 times out of 10, after the individual has sized up that person, they know in their mind, okay, yes, I can defeat this person. I can whip this person, this individual. But there are times when certain things happen that catches us off guard. And there are times when we don't assess the enemy or our adversary or the person we're going to fight, and we take for granted and take lightly the size of the individual. So many times, because an individual is small in stature and the other person that's going to fight them happens to be bigger, the bigger person feels, well, he's no threat to me. He's small. I can handle him. I can take him. But there are different stories in the Word of God that we can read. The story of Gideon, how God cut down the size of the troops and the army and the men that Gideon had to fight. And he told him to go to battle. Other instances that the Lord has cut down the size of the individuals or the size of the men that were going to battle just to prove a point that he is God. It's not the size of the troop or the men or how many men you have, but it's who you know, power that you possess. And so we find tonight in Ephesians, we have the weapons of our warfare. The scripture tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so since we know that our fight is not with the individuals per se, it is not a physical fight that we're fighting now as we did in the streets. So this fight is not a physical fight. This is a spiritual warfare. And we cannot go into spiritual warfare with a street mentality. Y'all don't hear me. We cannot go into a spiritual warfare or a spiritual battle with a street or a carnal mindset or mentality. The scripture tells us and shares with us about the 7 sons of Sceva, how when they saw the apostles casting out devils and they were going forth in the ministry and preaching and teaching the gospel and casting demons out of individuals, how the 7 sons of Sceva decided and took it upon themselves that they would do or wanted to try to do what they saw the apostles do. They took it upon themselves to approach an adversary or a man with demons in them. When they did, the demons spoke back. The devil, the spirits that was in the individual, spoke back to them. And they said to them, well, Jesus, we know. Because these 7 sons who was trying to cast the devil out, and they said, in the name of the God or the Christ or the God that Peter serves, in the name of the God that Paul serves, in the name of the God that John serves, we adjure you to come out. And those spirits spoke back and said to them, well, Jesus Christ, we know. And Paul, we know. But who are you? And so many people have tried in their flesh and in their carnality to approach or deal with a spiritual situation. And because of that, they end up on the short end of the stick. For the Bible lets us know that when the seven sons of Sceva said this and the demons spoke back to them and said that we don't know you, that those spirits jumped on those seven boys, whipped them, beat them up badly, whipped them bad, to the point where it whipped them out of their clothes, and then sent them running naked and beat up, running down the streets, which brought a shame to themselves and to their father and to whoever may have been connected to them, made an open spectacle of them. So it's important for us. It is very important for us as the body of Christ to know who we are and to know whose we are. It's important for us to know that God has ordained us, has called us, has set us forth to do the work in the kingdom. If you have not been praying and laying out before God and fasting and asking God to increase the power that's within you and the anointing of God in your life, I encourage you not to mess with certain things or try to deal with certain things. But as the body of Christ, we all are supposed to take on this whole armor of God. As the body of Christ, we all are to have on this whole armor of God and to be ready for battle. Ephesians 6 says, and 10 says, finally, I'm reading from the NIV, says, finally be empowered in the Lord and in the weight or the might of his strength. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the firm foundation of the gospel of peace. Beside all these, having taken up the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. And by all means of all prayer and petition, praying every time in the Spirit, and watching unto this and all perseverance and petition concerning the saints. Last, I want to say to you tonight, be strong and empowered in your union with Christ. Draw your strength and your connection from him. So many people now are seeking so many different gods and so many different things simply because they don't want to align themselves with the strictness and the firmness of God's word. So what they do, they begin to add on and to seek comfort in other areas and other means. They want to be able to get away with living any type of lifestyle or any type of way and doing anything they please, and yet feel that their connection with God is okay. If you plan on walking with Christ, we have to put on this whole armor of God. God himself prepared this armor. Did you hear that? The scripture says, put on the whole armor of God in order for us to stand. So that lets us know that God is the one that made this armor. He's the one that prepared this armor because he knew what we will need in these times and for battle. And so he prepared this armor so we will have no excuse, so we can stand and fight and go forward in him. Spiritual warfare can only be won, and the fight against the evil forces must be done in Christ. If we even attempt to do so in our flesh or with a carnal mind, a carnal attitude, or a carnal approach, we will lose or fail every time. So he tells us to put on or equip ourselves with the armor of God. God Jehovah has made or created for his soldiers to enable us to be victorious in battle and to protect us from all the strategies and deceits of the enemy. This warfare or this fight is not with the flesh or with one another. Get out of your feelings. And so many of us are walking around in our feelings to where that we can't even fight a good battle or be considered to be good soldiers because we're so busy constantly in our feelings. How can you fight a battle in your feelings? For the first person step on your boots, or the first time the enemy, say for example, like as children, we would like to play in the rain and puddles of water, and we would jump in the puddles of water and splash the water or the mud. The first time the enemy would splatter, step in some water or some mud in front of you and splatter some mud, and some mud gets on your uniform or some mud gets on your shoes, you get in your feelings. And now you are caught up into your feelings to the place and to the point to where you're no longer focused on what's ahead of you in the battle, but now you're focused on, you done got mud on my shoe. You done got mud on my outfit or my uniform. I just pressed it. I just ironed. I just washed it. Now look at this. And you've lost focus. And so now the enemy can creep in because you've taken your focus off of what's more important and what's ahead. And now your focus has been distracted from what you need to be focused on. So we must keep our minds and our minds on, I'm in battle for the Lord. I'm in battle for the kingdom of God. But on a higher level, an unseen level of attack, ungodly, wicked, twisted, foul, disturbing spirits and powers that hold offices and has authority in the supernatural realm or level. Okay, that's verse 12 now. I'm going to break it down again. This war or fight is not with the flesh and blood or with one another. So get out of your feelings. But it's on a higher level, an unseen level of attack. Ungodly, wicked, twisted, foul, disturbing spirits and powers that hold offices and has authority in a supernatural realm. This is who we are up against, and this is who our battle is with. This is who we are in warfare with, foul spirits, these twisted-minded spirits that are holding office. And what they do is they intervene, they get inside of individuals that hold offices in the natural realm, and they cause them to act out and do things and make decisions and do things and react and fight against us in the natural realm. But we have to stay focused knowing that my fight is not against you, President. My fight is not against you, Administrator or Councilwoman. My fight is not against you, King or Queen or person of authority. But my fight is against the spirits that's working inside of you. You're just a puppet. You're just allowing that spirit to use you and to manipulate you, the individual or the spirit that's working in you. So in order to hold the line and to stay ready for battle and in standing position, one must put the complete armor of God on that he has prepared. Verse 14 tells us that stand and hold your ground. When you stand and hold your ground, it didn't say that you was not going to be attacked. It didn't say that you weren't going to deal with some pains, some discomforts. It didn't say that you weren't going to feel some things that's going to come up against you, but it says stand your ground. The word says stand. Therefore, regardless of what you come up against or what comes up against you, you keep on standing. And you stand there and you stand until your help comes. David said, all of my help come from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. You can't go no higher than that or find no other help greater than that. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth. When just a spoken word, things came into existence. The elements listened and obeyed his command. He didn't have to do nothing with his hands by shaping anything with his hands. He didn't have to do anything with his body or his hands or his feet. He spoke the word, and the elements begin to listen and to take form and to take place and come subject to his voice. The girding of our loins is for the strengthening of our entire being. Our loins have to be protected. That's our mid-lower section, our loins. It has to be protected. There are different scriptures in the Bible that speaks of the loins of an individual being shielded and protected and guarded. And it has to be protected because that's the life source. Our life source is in our loins. That is the strengthening of our entire being. That is God in Christ, the reality in our living and the experience. And Christ himself, the hope of glory, lived out in us. Jesus Christ is the hope of glory, and him being in our lives and lived out in us. So we have God in Christ and in Christ in us. And we are to live out the Christ in us in this kingdom. This is the truth that girds our loins and strengthens our whole being for warfare. Luke 12:35 says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Your loins have to be girded, shielded, and it has to be girded with truth. Why does it have to be girded with truth? Why does it say, let your loins be girded with truth? Because the Spirit of God, if he dwells in that, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He don't have to lie. He cannot lie about anything. The Spirit of truth. It is the truth that stands. It is the truth that prevails. So many people find it easy to lie. Some people can lie. As soon as they open their mouth, a lie has to come out of their mouth to try to prove something, to impress someone, or to try to make a point, to try to make someone feel that they're greater than what they really are or no more than what they really do. But your loins have to be girded about with truth. And if your loins are girded about with truth, that means Christ can trust you with his word. He can trust you with his anointing. He can trust you with his power, because he knows that when you gird about with truth, he knows that you're going to stand in truth. You're going to walk in truth. You're going to speak in truth, that everything about you is going to be truth. And then when you reach out and he can send you forth into the kingdom, he knows that your kingdom work will be done in truth, and you'll win souls to him, not for your own self and vainglory, not for your own wealth, but for the kingdom. The breastplate of righteousness is to cover our conscience. Did you hear that? Our consciousness is signified by the breastplate being covered on our breast, our bosom, our heart, our conscience. I often say that before we get saved, the Lord deals with our conscience. But when we first get saved, the Lord deals with our conscience. But this, after you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he begins to speak to you and deal with you. Now you move past your consciousness and you say, well, something told me, or I just feel in my conscience, or your conscience bothers you when you do something wrong or do something you don't have no business or lie about something or do something, your conscience bothers you. But when you get saved and allow the Spirit of God to come in and you're filled with the Spirit, now the Spirit of God deals with you. I'm going to have to wrap this up for tonight. My time is running short, but we're going to take this back up again on next week. But on tonight, I want you to be prepared to ask God to get you ready to put on the whole, if you don't have it on already, the whole armor of God. We have to have it if we're going into battle and we're preparing ourselves for battle. This is a spiritual warfare, and we see how the enemy is running rampant in the land, and we need to be prepared for battle to fight against in this warfare and to build God's kingdom, to prepare for when he comes back for his people. He's coming back. Oh, yes, he's coming back. And we've got to be prepared and ready to go back with him when he comes. My brothers and my sisters, continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible tells us, to pray without ceasing. And I encourage you to find yourself a prayer closet and get on your knees and pray and cry out to God and ask God to help and to pray, amen, that God would intervene. He answers prayers, and there's nothing impossible for him to do. Be encouraged, my brother and sister, until we meet again on next week, the same time. God bless you. I pray that God will continue to keep you through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.